guys, good evening, and welcome to another segment of my podcast, Caramel Chocolate. It's your girl, Priceless, and yes, I have been away for a while, but fear not, I'm back. And you know, I have been away not for bad reasons, but for good reasons. I've been out discovering new things about myself, about the world, and exploring. Honestly, one of those discoveries has brought me to the discussion of today, the contemporary art world. Yes, that. Now, I have made a discovery of an artist named Ken Wadiobu. Now, Ken Wadiobu is a young, self-taught, multidisciplinary Nigerian artist. He was, or he is, originally a trained civil engineer, and then he pivoted to fine art, where he first embraced hyperrealism and charcoal drawing before expanding his creative horizon to more conceptual works and a wider array of techniques, including acrylic painting, sculpture, and installation. Now, upon developing these engaging layered monochrome portraits that have now become Ken's signature, you know, go-to, his works are inspired by iconic contemporary art figures such as J.M. Basquiat. The Basquiat. Now, if you are like me, who didn't know anything about Basquiat until I started exploring this lane, you might just as well Google it. And if you're one of those art lovers or inquisitive art people, I'm sure you already know who Basquiat is. So this is one of Ken's inspirations. Now, enough about Ken Wadiobu. I'm here to talk about his solo exhibition that is presently ongoing here in Nigeria, Abuja. Or is it Abuja, Nigeria? Abuja, Nigeria, Shah. It's ongoing at Retro Africa, and it's his first solo exhibition in Nigeria. Now, this exhibition is themed A Different Perspective. I love the theme, believe me. It sort of just speaks to me. Hearing the theme, I already felt, this is for me. And I can tell you, I saw this exhibition. I have experienced the art. I love it. It's great. It's breathtaking. It's amazing. And today I am going to be guiding you through this exhibition, just in case you haven't seen it. And if you have seen it and maybe don't understand it or don't know the story behind it, today I'm here to share with you, based on my conversation with the artists, you know, and discoveries made. Yeah. Now, A Different Perspective is an exhibition that is spread across the two floors of the gallery, which is the upper gallery and the lower gallery. At the lower gallery, you have works on the walls in different amazing colors: green, red, blue, purple, yellow, and a box, a cube actually. And then at the upper gallery, you have circular works that are mostly feminine and blue in color. And then you have a canoe with boxes, stacks of boxes. Now you have stacks of boxes in the corner, but then you still have boxes stacked on the canoe, in the canoe. English Shahad Babi. Also, you have the NFTs that are about to launch by Ken showing on the screen at one end, and then at the alcove you have a tribute video to the life of Eko, the lifestyle of Eko. So we're going to go back downstairs and begin with the works downstairs. But in the meantime, a different perspective, according to Ken, he says there is no one perspective of looking at the world. Your view of how you see the world is different from his view, is different from my view, is different from some other person's view. And for Ken, he believes the rare ability to see the world from a different perspective other than mine or yours. That is what humanity is all about. Empathy thrives there. Ubuntu becomes achievable. This is what his works has always and have always and will always be about. Seeing life from a different lens. Now, A Different Perspective is a show that explores the social life of Nigerians, how we live, how we love, how we survive, even in the midst of many political crises. This works by Ken at captured memories of experiences in Nigeria, figuratively painted to drive conversations about the way of life of people living here in Nigeria. So for Ken, it is his hope that these people begin to interact with us, constantly expressing what it feels like to be them. Now, like I said, I'm going to be taking you through the lower gallery. Now, when you get into the lower gallery, from the door you see the stack of boxes in the corner. I'm going to come back to explain that. And then on entering, first thing that captures your eye is the red piece. That's the first work you meet. It's a red piece with a figure, a third person figure, a stranger's figure with an eye, someone in charcoal. You have a face. Usually most of the works down here have faces in charcoal that are in human figure, so they're in the third person figure, right? So this red piece has a third person figure, and you have in acrylic, you have a young man standing behind a chair and a young lady lying down on a sofa. And then on the other side, beside the guy, you see a landline that has been disconnected. Now, this piece is titled Connect to Disconnect. I love the way he used, he didn't use the conventional means of communication or stating communication in this piece. Now, in this piece, he's trying to explain how relationship for this generation is becoming, or what it is beginning to seem like, how we connect only to disconnect in terms of emotional relationships and friendships, right? So from this piece, the young man who is standing behind the sofa where this lady is lying down is looking down, you know, on her, looking down towards her, and she is turned in another direction, obviously sleeping off, paying him no attention. Now, this third person view, this stranger is sitting next to her. So it's more like a situation where, you know, you connect with someone, and just when you think everything is going so fine, so okay, you start feeling a disconnection that you don't know where it's coming from, and you find yourself getting connected to someone else. Now, for me, I feel like this may be because something is lacking somewhere, and sometimes we don't take note of it. We don't see it before it happens, before it hits big. So we just, why want to say go with the flow until everything is spoiled? Sometimes it doesn't get spoiled. Sometimes we can still salvage it, but then salvaging it is a whole lot of work that some people get too lazy to want to put in. I mean, yeah. Now, moving on, the second piece you see, which is on the wall directly facing the door, your entrance, is a green piece titled 3. the community. Now, in this piece, you see two guys that are visible lying down on the ground, and a third figure with the charcoal face or eye, basically, making the third, right? So Ken says two is balance, but three, you know, with three you can create a community. In terms of three, he means a man, his wife, and his child, the government, the people, and the police, you know. Three, the community. You can't do it by yourself. You can't create a community by yourself. Sometimes you can't be two to do certain things. If you say you want to hang out, you're hanging out with a couple of friends. It's more like your tribe. So when you say I'm hanging out with my tribe, I'm chilling with my people, it's not one person. It's more than one. It's a community that you've created. So even when we go online and we create online presence or online communities, you find out what makes it a community is not because you had one person join. It's because you have more than one person in that group where you're trying to have a goal, where you have a goal, a targeted goal in mind. So that is three, the community. Besides three, the community, you find a blue piece with three young men and one figure in between the second and the last person, making them four. Now, the third person view, like I said, this piece is titled The Messengers. Now, this is another piece that I love because he used just this one piece to pass a whole lot of message. I'm going to have to go back to three, the community. So when you see that piece, you're going to note a flag that has free written on it, like free me, free my mind, be free, right? And in this piece, The Messengers, you see one of the guys who is the first person holding the flag free. Now on his shirt you have heartbreak, a broken heart drawn on his shirt. The second guy has the cross on his neck, which signifies Christianity. The third figure has the Muslim cap on his head, right? And signifying Islam. The fourth and final figure has his hands cuffed to a box, like a briefcase, signifying important information or important data that is being held back or kept back from us. Now, this free flag, before I go further, is Ken says it is it, or the inspiration thought of it, the inspiration was drawn from his travels. You know, when you leave your comfort zone and you go somewhere else, you experience culture, you experience a change in norm, you experience a whole lot of things, and then you begin to compare. So he began to compare a lot of things, and he discovered that in Nigeria, it feels like, or it's more a situation where we do not have freedom to express ourselves, freedom to our thoughts, freedom to be the people we want to be, that we crave to be, people that we are building in our head. I don't know if it's just me, people we mentally build ourselves to be. We get scared to want to be those people because of hearsay, because of, you know, certain situations. So he has started putting up this free flags or free signs to let us know that we need to let ourselves be free. And he says it is something that is going to become constant in his pieces. We're going to be seeing constant representations of freedom in his pieces. Now, there is something remarkable that I noticed in this piece titled The Messengers. The guy in, or the person, the figure in the Muslim cap, now he's the third person view, right? And he's in charcoal, so his eye is not just like it has tears in it, but when you look closer, you would see, or you would notice, that his face is tear stained. So he has obviously cried. It's not like he's preparing to cry. So this signifies a whole lot of heartbreaking situations that is going on in the country or around us, interreligion situations, where today Christians and Muslims are okay, tomorrow in another community or in another situation they are not. One part is suffering and the other part is gaining. You know, it's just a whole lot of message in this piece. When you move on from this piece and turn to your right, you see an amazing piece in turquoise color of a lady. And this piece is titled Turquoise Girl. Now, in this piece, the only thing in charcoal in this piece happens to be the eyes of the lady in question. Now, speaking with Ken, he says this is a friend of his. Now, the turquoise girl is a representation of how we adapt. Now, for this friend, for countries that she traveled to, from Nigeria to London, she changed to be able to survive and gradually adapted and started living and becoming comfortable. And if she moved to another place, same effect applied until she became the person that was suitable for that environment. So hence his reason for using the turquoise color, because when you put turquoise besides blue color, it gives off a blue vibe. You put it beside green, it gives off, you know, a green vibe. So turquoise girl we have there. You move on from that, you see a purple piece, and this piece is called, or it's titled, The Freedom Influencer. Now in this piece you have a second person view, or a second view figure in charcoal. Person is sitting down and looking up to the person in acrylic, which is a young man holding the torch from the Statue of Liberty. He uses this to signify freedom or liberty. And in his other hand, he's holding the free flag. Now, Freedom Influencers is, or the Freedom Influencer is focused on the influencers we have in Nigeria, preaching, trying to spread the message of freedom. Not just physical freedom, but mental freedom, psychological freedom, emotional freedom. Freedom to express yourself, freedom to be who you've always wanted to be, freedom to grow into who you want to be, freedom to explore that new person that you want to be. So that is Freedom Influencer. Then we move on to that and we see the yellow piece titled Gangster's Paradise. I like the title of that piece. Gangster's Paradise. Now, you hear that title and you think it's something dangerous. No, it's not. So this piece, in this piece you see a bus. If you've been in Lagos, if you've ever been to Nigeria, been to Lagos, the bus is in Lagos, called Mulwe bus. And then you see a viewpoint, the view figure is one person standing on the railing of a bus, of the bus behind it. Obviously, this bus is moving or is standing. Now, if you get an opportunity to go to the gallery and you watch the video installation in tribute to Eco Lifestyle, there's a clip where you have a guy behind the bus flinging his leg. Now, Gangster's Paradise is dedicated to lifestyle, but majorly the dangerous lifestyle that the people of Lagos live. I will put it as the people of Lagos, sorry. But the dangerous lifestyle that we live. It could be for the thrill of it, for the fun of it. It could be due to circumstance, you know, running late for an appointment for work and you couldn't catch up with the bus and you have to jump on the back of the bus. You know, you have to make ends meet. You have to do what you have to do. Someone says a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. But then this piece is dedicated to lifestyle, the thrilling lifestyle of the Eco people, the Lagos people. Yes. Now, when you look at the middle of the gallery, center of the gallery, there is the cube. This cube is rotating, gradually rotating, and it's in different colors. So this piece is titled Seek Your Truth. Now, for Ken, having this conversation was quite fun because it sort of connected with some of the things I love to watch, some of the things I'm interested in terms of movies or books. He says he wanted it to have some sort of mystique feel, but then in Nigeria you can't take that box and say you are going to find it, the cube, and say you're putting it in a native doctor's house. No, sorry to my non-Nigerians. It's impossible. But then imagine this cube in the house of a diviner, let's put it that way, and you stand before the cube and you hear the words seek your truth. Now this cube has different sides with different colors. Now the purple or the blue side of the cube is purpose, represents purpose. The purple side of the cube represents power. The red side of the cube represents love. The green side of this cube represents wealth. The yellow side of this cube represents belief. And the orange side of the cube represents freedom. Now, each perspective of how we live are painted on different sides of the cube, with symbols and colors that make references to these different perspectives. And in CBD, in, you know, there are symbols. I just learned of one. How can I forget it? Check it. But then, after I got to learn the color inspiration behind the cube, I decided to go back to look at these works. Now, like I said, blue is purpose. Now, the work that is blue downstairs is the piece titled The Messengers. Right? Their purpose was to deliver messages, different messages to us. Right? The color purple is power. And the piece that is purple is the Freedom Influencer. So these influencers have the power to preach freedom. They use whatever their medium or their platforms as their PowerPoints to preach, to teach freedom of self-love, freedom of our mind, freedom, you know, freedom in general. The piece that is red happens to be the piece titled Connect, Disconnect, and red here signifies love. So connect to disconnect. I mean, it's focused on relationships, how we connect and then disconnect over time, and then try to find a way to connect back, like a whole circle, for the people who want to continue, because there are people who, like I said, give up at some point. Then green here signifies wealth, and the piece that is green in color is titled 3, the community. So it is when you have a community that you can build wealth for that community. It is the people that come together to create that community that can determine if that community would yield wealth. That is my understanding, that is my view, that is my perspective. I mean, yellow signifies belief, and the piece that is yellow is the gangster's paradise, and it happens to be a belief that the people of Lagos, to an extent, have come to run with, a norm, a culture, a practice that they have come to live with. Unfortunately, there's no orange piece, so I didn't have anything to say about that part. Now we're moving up to the upper gallery. On climbing the stairs and getting upstairs, first thing you see on the wall is a curatorial statement written on the wall, and to your left, or rather to your right, more stacks of boxes. And you proceed to your left, which is the direction that leads you into the gallery. You begin to hear soundtracks, which is coming from the alcove, from the video of the Echo tribute, right? Then when you look further into the gallery, the first thing that captures your eye is, in the middle of a wide and bright white room, is a deep blue fisherman canoe decorated with a rich adire pattern, like rich adire patterns, levitating in the air, hanging to strong chains that are disappearing into the roof. Yeah. Now, this canoe is an installation titled Journey Mercies, a cardboard boxes installation branded Jesus of Lubeck, a decorated canoe that will take reference. This decorated canoe takes reference from the Badagry slave trade, a fifth voyage that sets away, but the migrants restrict movement and try to capsize the boat. Now, Ken, in his statement, explains that it's a symbolic reincarnation of the original boat, Jesus of Lubeck, a slave ship that pioneered the Atlantic slave trade in the 16th century. Now, the canoe is overloaded with colorful cardboard boxes, personalized with anonymous black faces, vivid metaphors of the African migrants who tried their luck and lives on dreadful rafts in the Mediterranean, with the insane hope to reach the shores of Europe. In the installation, each box holds a past, a present, and a future yet to be revealed. Basically, you know, what happens in the life of these people, or the lives of these people who are trying to migrate. Their lives hold a past, their lives hold a present, their lives hold a future that we don't know about, you know, until you're told, until you see it, until you experience it with them. Now, Ken says he was captivated by the utility of the cardboard box as a parcel and global trade metaphor, and how it arguably reflects the migrant's experience. In the installation, each box holds a past, a present, and a future to be transported across oceans, mountains, and to eventually land in a distant destination. Each box is painted with its personal identifier, that is, the faces of people in his lives or in his life that, you know, he has experienced, he has had conversations with, or he knows their migration stories. But the stacking nods toward the collective. Now, he says, as people of culture, of color, sorry, we journey around the world sharing our cultures, our identity, and our beliefs. We enrich other nations that we see as our homes with our strengths, our skills, and our talents, leaving behind a home desperate to see its prodigal sons and daughters return. And for many of us, we give ourselves experiences that replenish our field with new ideas and a different perspective. But just as it is great to migrate, it is even greater to return. So this installation, Journey Mercies, makes a statement on migration in this contemporary time as it reflects on migration during the slave trade. In some way, it sends a message that if we keep living, that is, without plans of returning, there will be nobody to champion the change in the country. So Journey Mercy interrogates the origin and causes of these migrations, their violence and their perspectives in an increasingly connected and yet divided world. So that is, you know, Journey Mercy's the installation of the canoe and the boxes. So those have been explained. Now then, when you move in, you find blue pieces, mostly in circular shapes. You have two big blue pieces and two small blue pieces, and then you have a slim rectangular piece that's not in landscape though, hanging on the wall beside, just beside the entry to the alcove. And then on the main wall that you see once you enter into the gallery, the upper gallery, you have a big square piece hanging on the wall. Now all these pieces upstairs are feminine. You have the pieces that, the piece that is titled You, which shows a lady obviously standing at a beach, yes. And then you have another piece titled Love Will Set Us Free. You have another piece up there titled Life, just like a movie, just like the movies. You have another piece titled Not Your Regular. Yeah. Now, these two pieces, the rectangular slim piece is titled Fit In, and the bigger piece upstairs is titled Smoking Beauty. Like we mentioned earlier, these pieces up here explore and show how we live, how we love, how we survive, even in the midst of many political crises. So these pieces that are in circular shapes and sort of have like a fish eye view of the images or the people depict the political claustrophobic nature of the country, and yet how we find a way to survive through the struggles, we find a way to make ourselves happy, we find a way to still stay true to ourselves. Now, one thing you're going to notice with the pieces up here is that all of these pieces are feminine. And Ken, when speaking with Ken, he explained that he used females because of our fluidity, or their fluidity, because it's there are certain situations that a man would experience or go through, and he would break at a point. Breaking, you won't actually see it, but then there wouldn't be any movement. But for females, we just find a way to bend and fit in, like the piece titled Fit In, bend and fit into, you know, the situation, despite the struggle, and then we still love, we still laugh, we still live, and we still survive. So that is what these pieces up here are about. I mean, it's something that I feel one should experience on their own. I mean, I see people just walk into galleries and take pictures. That's not what it's about. You should experience this art. You should, it's amazing. It's an amazing experience. And I feel like I'm short of words. But yes. Now, when you turn around, you see on the wall, you find screens showing the NFTs that is set to launch by Ken Wadiobu. Yes, so you have 5 NFTs showing on the screen. So you have 2, I think. Yeah, 2 on one screen, which you have 2 reds, 1 green. No, 2 green and 1 blue. And it's amazing. The NFTs are actually in motion. Yes, they are in motion. Now, the NFT is titled The Migrant. The Migrant is a collection of 100 NFTs released gradually at the fixed price of 1 Ethereum. The Migrant NFTs are unique bundles, each piece being sold together with its corresponding personified cardboard box sculpture. Now, I like this part. I love this part. To be shipped to its primary buyer worldwide. The Migrant is part of the ongoing cross-reality project Johnny Mercies, launched on the blockchain in November of 2021 and later continued in the physical world with critically acclaimed exhibitions in the UK, the US, and of course, Nigeria. Acknowledging the need for extending our perspectives and widening our critical horizon, the Migrant Project aims at contributing to build critical thinking and opportunities locally. Now, to foster the emergence of a more caring, accepting, and loving society, to help this objective, 20% of the sale proceeds will help fund 5 Cowries Initiative, a Nigerian NGO promoting art education as a tool to foster critical thinking, communication, collaboration, and creativity through the implementation of art education program countrywide. Now, let's take a step aside and embrace a different perspective. Look, I'm in love with this exhibition. I do hope if you are in town in Abuja, Nigeria, you should experience it. You should come experience it for yourself. And if you're not, you could follow the gallery on Instagram at Retro Africa, or you could check it out on my Instagram. I tagged the gallery, so you can check me out on Instagram at she's_priceless. That is SHIS_PRICELESS. Again, at SHIS_PRICELESS. On that note, people, I hope you have had a fun ride with me through this gallery tour. It's your girl Priceless, and I'm signing out as always on Caramel Chocolata. I thought I told you about it.
Hello guys, it's your girl Priceless and you're welcome to another segment of this episode. So something happened. The previous segment, right? I thought I had posted it after I recorded it, but I only discovered that I drafted it, so it was posted late and I apologize for that. I'm just going to follow up on the previous segment, yes? So, the exhibition, A Different Perspective, a solo exhibition, A Different Perspective by Ken Wadiobu, has rounded up at Retro Africa. If you were able to see the exhibition, I would like to know what you thought about it and, you know, your experience, what you understood, basically, the exhibition, what you thought about the exhibition, what you thought about the artist. You know, I'd like to get feedback. The handle of the Instagram handle of the artist and the gallery is listed in the description. Yes. So I would just like to also follow up on a couple of things. I had mentioned the NFTs. So the NFT has launched and has sold a couple, which I'm excited for. Honestly, in as much as I don't understand so much about NFTs, I wish someone would actually sit and explain it to me in a layman's language and not tech language. I would really appreciate it. But yeah, so I had said that Ken was intending to launch the NFTs. Well, the NFTs launched and sold. So he is working under the Migrant Collection. It's supposed to be a collection of 100 NFTs, right? Now, he started by launching 5 out of the collection under the Migrant Collection. Yeah. Now, for those 5, 3 were an open edition. That is, those 3 could give you 9. So for one piece, you have 3 of it, which is 9. And then for the closed edition, which are the unique pieces, they just had 2. Now, the NFT launch and sale happened on Nifty Gateways, and it happened with an open auction for the day it launched, of which the open edition sold out. I'm super excited for, yes. And so far, you know, having to talk to a lot of people about the exhibition, talk them through, give them tours, I really love how the theme of the exhibition played out in real life. I also loved how a lot of people got touched, a lot of people got spoken to, a lot of people got messages, you know, across to themselves or across the people they care about. I'm really super excited. I got to hear different perspectives from different people, and it was really, really an amazing experience. I'm just going to touch a few pieces that I got a different perspective from guests who took tours from. Yes, for Connect to Disconnect, you know, I got two perspectives about it. I got a perspective of long distance relationship. You know, long distance relationships, it feels like some days you're connected and some days you're not. Some days you have to rely on one means of communication which does not relay all the elements of communication, if I'm to put it that way. Example, you know, you're relying on phones, on email, phone calls, emails, texting, chatting, and no video calls for when you can, yes? And it just feels like for those times where you have to carry out all means of communication without any form of video calling, if you're upset, if you're crying, if you're in distress, or your partner is, you can't really see their facial expressions, you can't see through their eyes, you know, you wouldn't be able to weigh or handle, you wouldn't be able to weigh, I wouldn't use the word judge, you know. So that was one perspective. Another perspective which I got from an older guest, he said the stranger is always there. So you remember I said that there are two people in a relationship, guy looking doubtfully upon his love, and she and he felt like she was not interested and she was looking away, sleeping. Yeah. And then besides the both of them was the stranger. Stranger's view, the person sitting, could be female connected to the guy and could be male connected to, you know, the lady. So this guest had just, he was like, you know something? The stranger is always there, will always be there, has always been there. And he made me realize that the stranger's role is not activated until there is a constant disagreement, a constant discontent between the people in a relationship. Then the role of the stranger gets activated. The stranger doesn't even know that he or she has that role, you know. At the end of the day, the role gets activated and they get to play out. So the stranger could be there to help build and fix whatever is going on. The stranger could be there to, you know, may just be the rightful partner for one of the two. Stranger could be there to destroy. Stranger could be there to settle. Stranger could be there to advise. And, you know, the stranger doesn't have to be an outsider. The stranger could be a friend, could be family. But the stranger's role has and will always be there. So those are the two perspectives for connect to disconnect, which is the red piece. Another view, a different perspective for 3, the community, which is the green piece, or was the green piece, was one that transcended, or one that traveled from connect to disconnect, because you see these two people lying down and gazing upwards. I never really took note, but then, you know, this same older person drew my attention to the fact that the one who looked like female, like the female, was wearing the shorts of the male figure, right? And then, as usual, there was the stranger, the third person, third wheel. And he says, look at the face of this lady. And she doesn't seem content. She's not happy. And actually looking at it, it felt like, oh, one person was looking, I'm done. Like, I don't think I can do this. That was the facial expression. And the other person was, I wouldn't say ignorant. The other person just didn't have an idea what was going on. The other person just thought, had the facial expression of, everything is fine, everything is okay, you know, I'm sure we're doing good, we're doing fine, there's no problem. And then the stranger is there. So he said these people have gotten to the stage where, you know, nothing for the lady, she's not having it. And with that, they cannot build a community. That community is not going to work, except it's going to be a disastrous community, you know. That was one perspective. Then the second perspective is a story, or one that connects with the piece, the next piece, which is the messengers. Now, the second perspective is of dreamful youths who are envisioning their future, envisioning where they want to be. You know, if the government is great, once I'm done with school, I'm getting a job. When I get a job, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. And, you know, by the time you move to the third piece, which is the messengers, it just feels like, no, that's not it. So that's the second perspective for 3, the community. Now, the first perspective, aside from the perspective I gave from the artist, of the messengers, is this story that transcends from 3, the community, to the messengers, because in this piece, The Messengers is the Blue piece, you find out that this young men representing all the young people in Nigeria, where I'm from, and I'm sure in a whole lot of places, you know, after being all dreamful and expectant and planning and, you know, putting in a whole lot of effort, expecting results and expecting feedback, it's not working. So you find out that the expression, which is what, you know, this youths or these people had on their faces in this blue piece, they're not happy. They're heartbroken. Remember, the first guy has heartbreak on his shirt, and then you have the Christian and the Muslim, and then you have the person who has information being held back from them. So it encapsulates everybody, every religion. And then young people are not happy. You know, they're heartbroken, information is being kept back from them, opportunities are being kept back from them, data is being kept back from them. It's a whole lot. But in summary, I can tell you that this exhibition has been amazing. It has been beautiful. And yes, I really hope that a lot of people got to experience it if you're in Abuja, Nigeria. And if you are not, I would always say I'll direct you back to the Instagram pages of, you know, the gallery, which is Retro Africa, and the artist himself, Ken Wadiogu. You can see some of these pieces. And for anybody who is interested in an e-catalog, just reach out to me and I will send it to you. As usual, it's your girl Priceless, and I'm signing out on this segment of the podcast, Caramel Chocolata. Do expect the next artist and the next conversation. Love you. Bye.